Hey, man. I think we are in for a treat this afternoon. Good morning, friends. It's good to be with you. It's good to worship God together with you on this Palm Sunday as we begin Holy Week. Today, before that, I do hope you'll join us not only for the concert today, but for our Maundy Thursday service. This week, as well as the chapel being open Good Friday, and of course Easter Sunday. That way, you really follow the whole story of Holy Week. Because if you come today and you come Sunday, you skip over a lot of important stuff. So it is vital to find some way to walk through that story together, and those services give us the opportunity to do that as a church family. Today we continue also our covenant series where we reflect on the ways God creates covenants with us. And covenant's more than just a churchy word for promise. It's God's particular way of making and sustaining relationships with us as God's people. And we see this very clearly in the Palm Sunday text as well. So friends, I invite you to listen with open hearts and minds as we encounter God's word together from the 11th chapter of Mark, beginning with the first verse. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and we'll send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. When he looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, you know, friends, it is the most wonderful time of the year. And, of course, Holy Week's a big part of that. But it is also March Madness time, right? Is anyone's bracket in need of pastoral care? We can add it to the prayer list later. It is so much fun this time of year when there's so many games going on and you're looking for underdogs to root for, Cinderella stories and the like. I was thinking about the tournament this week while I was watching way too many games on my multi-screen setup and all that. I got thinking how many assumptions we have baked into this tournament. I mean, the whole tournament's seeded, right? So you expect a 1 seed to beat a 16 seed. You expect a 5 seed to beat a 12 seed, right? Except when it doesn't. Because we know that happens. In fact, most years, a 12 seed beats a 5 seed. And in fact, this year, that happened more than once. So we have these assumptions, yet we know that they often get disrupted. I read recently about work from emerging in neurology, talking about how our brains are wired. And our brains are wired to conserve energy. They do everything they can to conserve energy because they take so much of our energy from our bodies. So any opportunity our brains have to conserve energy, they take it. One way our brains conserve energy is by making connections and patterns. So when our mind observes something happening more than once, we expect it to happen again and again. Or a less scientific term, assumptions. We make assumptions this way. And while it certainly is, by and large, a helpful function of our brain, it also can make us miss things, or can limit our understanding of things and make us miss something like an upset in a basketball tournament. Or perhaps for God incarnate to march right into our world and into our lives. Friends, the story of Palm Sunday is a story that is chock full of assumptions. The Judean people gathered there, coming into Jerusalem as Jesus and his followers entered, had all sorts of assumptions about what this meant, about who this was that was coming into the holy city. Some folks in this crowd, in this parade known as the Zealots, had ambitions about this day. When they see Jesus, their hope for a violent uprising of the city, of the people of Israel retaking Jerusalem from Rome, came back into their minds, into their hopes. They hoped Jesus would bring such a revolution. Even more of the folks gathered there saw Jesus coming in and this hope as the next King David. And you hear it in our text. Blessed is the one of the coming of our ancestor David and his coming kingdom. It wasn't just the Judean people, the Jewish people that day that had assumptions. The Romans had all sorts of assumptions too. See, Jesus and his motley crew of followers walk into Jerusalem at the beginning of the Passover celebration. Roman authorities are on high alert in Jerusalem on this day as the Jewish festival begins. And this is possibly because 150 years earlier, another crowd of folks waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna came and overthrew Rome temporarily during what's called the Maccabean Revolution. This is probably why Pontius Pilate decided to travel the 60 miles from his home in Caesarea by the sea to Jerusalem to oversee the festivities, to make sure that at any cost, Pax Romana would be upheld. So you can see it, right? The Judean folks, the Romans, each had assumptions about this day. And as Pastor Paul Rock reminded me, when you make assumptions on Palm Sunday, what happens? You make a donkey out of you and me. Well, friends, we come to this day with plenty of assumptions as well, if we're honest with ourselves. I find that Palm Sunday is a day where once you've been in the life of the church for a while, it's a day that you can kind of put yourself on autopilot, get lost in the crowd. It's a day where we can gather and wave palms and forget that the crowd shouting Hosanna, which means save us, the crowd shouting save us on Sunday, will be shouting crucify him come Friday. We make a lot of other assumptions, too, though, in our faith life. We make a lot of assumptions about who Jesus is. We like to believe we know exactly just who Jesus does and does not love. Or we happen to think that Jesus shares the same perspectives as we do about political and social issues. Or even about things like worship style. When we make these assumptions, we really are recreating Jesus in our own image. It's a form of idolatry. But even more so, what I want us to think about, when we do this, it's limiting. These assumptions are limiting in our understanding of just who God in Christ is for us. There's another kind of assumption we make about God, though, that I want to point out this day. Too often in the Christian life, we make assumptions, especially in difficult times, that God either isn't present or simply doesn't care about the sufferings going on in our lives, in our community, in our world. The good news, friends, about Palm Sunday, the good news about Palm Sunday is that Jesus marches into Jerusalem and disrupts everyone's assumptions. He disrupts the Roman assumptions. They're expecting a revolution, and Jesus does not march in on a war horse, but he marches in on a donkey. Not just any donkey either. Mark tells us it was a colt. It was a young donkey. When you think about it for just a minute, it's a comical image to think of a grown man riding on a baby donkey. Second, the people gathered there aren't waving swords. They're not waving weapons. They're waving palm branches, of all things. Jesus comes into the city not to create violence, but to bring peace. In fact, if anything, the whole episode is a critique of Roman power and oppression and coercion. It's a form of satire. Now, Jesus comes to take power not by force, but through sacrifice, giving his very life on the cross to bring healing and wholeness and redemption to our broken world. Jesus also disrupts the Judean assumptions of that day as well. There will be no political upheaval, just obedience to God's will. Jesus comes to bring deliverance, but not in the way God's people were expecting or looking for. Jesus will inaugurate a kingdom, but his kingdom is a heavenly one, not an earthly one. It's one that's acquired not by power, not by force, not by coercion, but rather through obedience to God's will of giving of oneself in love for God's children. The covenant God and Christ makes with us here, the covenant God and Christ makes with us on Palm Sunday as Jesus marches into David's holy city, is not to simply fulfill all of our assumptions or all the things we think about God. No, Jesus marches into Jerusalem to disrupt our assumptions, but also to transcend them, to exceed even our biggest hopes and dreams about who God in Christ is for us. And friends, that is the good news. God's covenantal kingdom that Christ will inaugurate is far greater, far more loving, far more inclusive, far more powerful than anything we could ever hope or dream or imagine. The God we know in Christ loves and cares for us so much that God not only takes on our flesh, takes on our existence, but this God suffers the depths of human pain on the cross for us. There's nothing we can go through in this life. There's no valley we can walk through in this life where God is not right there beside us, weeping, mourning, bringing us through, helping us find redemption. One of the best pieces of advice I have ever received in ministry was given to me just before my ordination by a mentor of mine. I asked him what words of wisdom he had for me that day and that he wasn't going to share in the service, and he said this, "Jim, simply allow people to surprise you. Allow people to surprise you." I can't tell you how life-giving those words of wisdom have been to me in my ministry, but also in my life, to simply allow people to surprise you with their grace, with their love, with their commitment, Friends, I think Holy Week is a time for us to allow Jesus to surprise us yet again. As he marches into our lives, into our world, to disrupt and to transcend all of our assumptions, to inaugurate this heavenly kingdom on earth as in heaven, that is far bigger, far more loving, far more inclusive than anything we could ever hope or dream. Friends, as we follow our Lord this week to the cross, to the empty tomb, I invite you to take a minute, even if just a moment, to question our limiting assumptions, that we hold about God, and our limiting assumptions we hold about one another as neighbors, that together we might more fully live into this covenantal kingdom. Friends, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed be the name of our Lord.